Are you tired, frustrated, and feel stuck? Are you a high-performing business professional, entrepreneur, and you are not getting the results you desire, or you hit a ceiling? Have you been around the block and tried many modalities? You are in the right place. The answer, my friend, is in the little-known brain-soul connection. Welcome to the Brain-Soul Success Show, where we learn, explore, and create your dream life. Your host, Louise Swartzwalter, created a five-part mind-body-soul methodology that clears the subconscious blocks to success. You are a soul with a body, not a body with a soul. The seed of all you need is already within you. From engaging transformational interviews, brain-soul success stories, and secrets shared by health, wellness, and spiritual experts, you will reconnect, revitalize, and transform your powerful life. It's time for you.
Hey, welcome back everyone to the Brain Soul Success Show, where we take back our power. Wow, you are in for an amazing treat today. I have the beautiful Max Lowen with us today, and she really did take back her power. I'm going to read a little bit of her bio here, and then we'll dive in. Wow, I'm so excited to be with you today, Max. I'm just really honored. So thank you for being with us today. You know, Max is a global citizen. She's grown up in various countries. She's trilingual in Italian, Spanish, and English. And she is the survivor of satanic ritual abuse, torture, and trafficking, and went on to do her healing work and train in trauma and recovery to help other survivors who also have been trapped in that cycle of violence. Max created a show called Unbroken, where she interviews survivors, truth warriors, healers, and teachers. Max integrates the knowledge she has about the global deep state political machine with issues such as the child trafficking, trauma-based mind control, to help educate people about the global control structure that keeps humanity trapped in these cycles of individual and collective trauma and control. Wow. Knowing the truth facilitates finding solutions to the myriad of issues facing humanity. And Max shares her knowledge about healing and recovery. So we're going to hear some of that today. How did she really heal from all this? Right? In effort to assist individuals in looking inward and really doing their shadow work. The restoration of humanity, our beautiful planet, begins with each individual healing themselves, stepping into their fullest potential and power. Inner awareness of self and outer awareness of the social engineering and harvesting of humanity and all life on the planet are necessary components to achieving freedom with and without. Max authors many articles analyzing the truth behind the variety of geopolitical programs, and she's currently working on a book about her life as well. She's an advocate for children and considers our most precious asset and the future of our human race. Wow. What a history, what a background. I am like so just honored to be with you today and to learn how you came through all this.
Well, thank you, Louise. I'm honored to be here. So thank you for having me.
Yeah. You know, so what, you know, like, I don't even know where to start. Like, where did this all start? How young were you when you experienced some of this abuse? And take us back there and tell us a little bit about that, Max.
Sure. I think what I call the global cult, it's the structure that runs the planet. And it's the people at the top. So people at bottom levels of every organization are good people that want to help others and do good. But unfortunately, you know, there's a lot of darkness here, which I think right now no one can overlook or deny. Mm-hmm. I got into this through basically my Italian side of the family. So a lot of times we're born into families that practice basically torturing and sexually abusing and mind controlling children this is actually, they do this to their own. So anyone that's going to be in a high global position around the world comes from some of these elite bloodlines or somehow associated with them. Mm-hmm. And this is done to fragment people because trauma causes you to split and dissociate. So folks can be programmed for the roles that they're going to have so they can be controlled, you know?
Okay.
So that's just a very, very brief background just to give a little context. So I was targeted basically from birth. And a ritual was done that I remembered in my healing process when I was a baby, and it was to break attachment with my mother. And unfortunately, it succeeded. My mother was probably what we used to call a multiple, or now we call DID. She was alternately violent, depressed. She wasn't really capable of being a mother. And this is something that they deliberately do because human attachment and love, look at all mammals, right? When a dog has babies, they're all on the body. So this is something that's done, I think it's a spectrum, but it's also done to all of society to make us more amenable and more controllable. So think of hospital births, you know, where you're born and then they take the baby and they put all the babies in bassinets in a room together behind the glass. Mm-hmm. I mean, even when I had my own daughter in 2003, I had to kind of fight the hospital staff to keep her on my body and with me, you know. Mm-hmm. So hospital births are medicalized now. I mean, the parents have to both work to make a living. Children go into daycare, into state care earlier and earlier. There is a movement I think we can see now in society to break up the family or make the family not relevant anymore. Because again, that love and that attachment is one of the biggest foundational strengths that we have. So it started from birth. Mm-hmm. And because of my family was in politics, so I grew up living in various different countries, moving every few years. Every summer and every winter holiday, my mother would take us. My dad wouldn't come, but she would bring us back to Rome. And unfortunately, her much older brother, my uncle, ran an underground facility there, which did experiments and torture and all kinds of things. And these unfortunately exist in wow, pretty much every country in the world. Mm-hmm. They're military, they're medical, they're kind of a combination of that. So he had access to me twice a year, and I would be taken into this facility. And then when I was 14, my parents divorced. So we moved to Rome full time. So then unfortunately, from 14 to 18, he had access to me all the time.
Oof.
He would take me into the facility and do various tortures. And I will just briefly say them without really going into the gory details, but mm-hmm. Things like electric shock, being buried alive with dead bodies, having to watch animals and people be hurt and killed, being put in cages, isolation, deprived of food and water, you know, these beatings, of course, and all this kind of stuff. And then in addition, there were what we call satanic rituals, which some people have described. I mean, some of them would be taken, I'd be taken to these mansions and there'd be these parties. And it was me and other children brought in, often in cages. And then, you know, these people would basically select which child they wanted to rape. So,
oh my gosh, it's appalling to me. I mean, like, I just can't even, like, wow, you know, I don't know how you survived all that, Max.
Well, you know, I'll just briefly tell you one more thing, which, you know, I definitely know that there is a creator, there is a God, but I'm not very fond of religion. I was raised Catholic, but also being there in that facility, mm-hmm. I was taken to the underground part of the Vatican. You can only access it through tunnels, which they have everywhere, by the way. And I witnessed them ritually sacrificing children mm-hmm. in homage to Lucifer, you know, and to bring dark demonic entities into the room and sometimes mm-hmm. into their own bodies, you know, by choice. So these things sound really out there. I'm aware, mm-hmm. but I think it's important for me to mention that because this isn't just me. This has happened to many, many people. Mm-hmm. And if people want to go, there was a documentary called 50voices.org where they interviewed 50 or possibly now more survivors of ritual abuse, such as myself. And when you listen, and they're 15-minute interviews, when you listen, you kind of see it's the same kind of stuff. We're different ages, we're in different parts of the world, mm-hmm. and they're still doing this to children. And I think child trafficking has seeped into the collective awareness, which is good, right?
Yes, it has been.
As hard as this is to hear, what I tell people is, you know, people have said to me, I can't, I have to turn away from that. And I say, well, then you're turning away from all the children that are being trafficked and abused right now today. And we can't do that as a responsible human race. We have to know the ugly truth, which is why I speak it, mm-hmm. so that we can implement solutions. Okay.
Absolutely. And I believe that too. And so again, I want to thank you for being so candid and vulnerable and sharing with us today, because I always say the truth sets you free. We can't ignore the fact that these things are really happening. What I love is how you came up, and I'd love to know how you did it. Like, how did you come up on the other side of this? When someone goes through that horrific kind of experience and abuse, how does like the soul, the spirit, like even survive that? You know, so what do you think is how did you do that? Like, what did you do to make that happen for yourself, Max?
So there's several things. I think the first I'll say is, you know, and I think actually all children come in completely connected to the divine, to mm-hmm. their higher self, to all of that. So I did. And I came in with a high intelligence and with a self-healing ability, which I believe we also all have, but it's mm-hmm. been dumbed down. So what would happen is, you know, I've told the story before where one of the tortures was to put me in a box. It had no light, no, you know, so once you're in, it's kind of to disorient you. You don't know if it's night or day. You don't know what's up or down. It's a mental kind of torture. Mm-hmm. And when I would be put in those situations, I would basically leave and go into another dimension, and I would be with Jesus. That was the person that was always there with me. And like, I would be in this very beautiful garden with a waterfall, and I loved dolphins and elephants. And so I would literally be there. And so that connection helped me to survive. And I was very telepathic. So, I mean, still today, one of the hardest things for me is when animals are suffering, because I could communicate with them. And so when I was very, very small, I was with my uncle on he would go out in these vans, and he would capture animals to bring into the facility and experiment and torture. And he had these birds in a cage, and he had gone to get another cage, and the birds showed me that they wanted to fly. They didn't want to be in the cage. Mm-hmm. So I was quite small, like 2 or 3. And so I opened the cage and freed them, you know? So I had this ability to connect. And even within the facility, within really dark moments when people were about to be killed, I would connect with them through my heart, and I could feel them. And I would, it was like, I would find moments of love in the darkest of the dark in that place. Oh, so whenever I could, I would connect with another person and have that loving bond, even if 5 minutes later they would be dead.
Oh, gee, you know, you're so strong. Wow. There's just a strength of your soul that came from either you had it, like you said, you were born with that, or came during that time so that you could, you know, go from that darkness to the light and stay in that place for yourself and literally survive. Everyone doesn't survive though. So what is it about Max or people that do survive that you think that they have that gives them that ability to come through it?
I think that we and I chose to come here to this planet, to incarnate here, to be here for now, because I think we're in the most incredible time in our planet where we're transitioning from a low consciousness structure and control to a, you know, we've been in a hell on earth, and I think we have an opportunity now to move ourselves and the whole planet to a heaven on earth. Mm-hmm. So I believe I actually chose to come into that dark situation. I wanted to perhaps understand what that was and go through it and then come out the other end and be able to expose it. Like it's kind of like if you're an elite Marine or you're in, you know, you're on a reconnaissance mission, you go deep into it, you go undercover, right? So mm-hmm. I think that that's my sense that I decided to, I mean, believe me, sometimes in the middle of it, I regretted that decision. But when you zoom out, when you're not in your human self, when you see things from a different perspective, it seems different. You think, oh, I'll go, you know, and I actually have a memory pre-incarnation of being in a meeting, a galactic meeting with other beings that were human looking, but not exactly the same. And we were talking about the planet Earth and, you know, everything's interrelated. So in this discussion, what I remember is that what happened here would affect the multiverse. It would affect other places. So I volunteered. I remember that memory. I said, oh, I'll go, you know. Mm-hmm. So I think I came in with some extra strength and gifts because I decided to do this. But also what I'll say is that saying, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger, is really true. If it doesn't destroy you, if it doesn't kill you, then you rise to that level that you have to survive. And you it's like when people train to be elite athletes, right? They train and train and train, and then they seem to be able to do physical things that other people can't do. So it's kind of like that too. It's like, because I could overcome it, I developed myself into a much stronger person. And after my healing process, which I can talk about, I can get to keep that strength.
Yes, that's the power that you're taking back. Absolutely. You're taking back your power there. So how did you heal from all of this?
So, you know, healing is interesting. And when I look back on my life, I see many components that were part of my healing that I wouldn't have thought at the time. Mm-hmm. So I was able to get out of there when I was 18 and I came to the US and I studied psychology. I got an undergrad and two grad degrees. And I worked, and the kinds of things I did, like I worked in jails, and I did trauma groups for women in women's prisons. Mm-hmm. I worked with homeless folks who were trauma survivors. I worked in rape crisis centers. I actually ran a batterers program. So I did men's groups for men that had committed domestic violence. And all of these kinds of things in my, you know, 20s and 30s when I was working were in fact part of my healing, because when I was a child, one of the things they understood about me quickly is that what hurt me the most is when other people would be hurt. And I was hopeless. I couldn't do anything except connect with them, you know, through my heart. Mm-hmm. So being able to help people come back from trauma, I realize now, was actually a step in my own healing. Mm-hmm. As you help people, it's always a reciprocal relationship, you know,
right.
You heal yourself at the same time. Mm-hmm. I had my daughter. That was another huge piece of my healing, because the love that I had for her and being able to raise her and protect her and give her everything that I didn't have, it gave almost like me a chance to have a second childhood the way it should have been. And that love, which was, you know, as far as trusting other people, that's been a struggle. But when it's your own baby, it's easy, right? So that was a part of my healing. And I did do a 10-year therapy, where what happened is actually after I had my daughter into that a few years, it's like the vault opened and some of the more horrific memories that I had repressed they just started to come out. I started to have nightmares that were actually memories. They started to come during the day. So I knew enough to get help. And that 10-year process of putting, it's like if my life was a puzzle, there were all these chunks missing, mm-hmm. and all of a sudden it all got put together. And so I think there's a couple of things about that therapy that were helpful. Putting my story together, now, oh, everything made sense. All these different things that didn't make sense did. The attachment that I never got growing up as a baby from my mother, mm-hmm. I was able to have that attachment with my therapist and develop that basic trust that we all, it's like I had a house without a foundation.
Right.
So that relationship with her and building that trust and that attachment, and she was always consistent, unlike, you know, that early part of my life. So that was a huge step in my healing right there. Mm-hmm. And then since then, and I can describe this more in detail if you want, but since then, I realized that my thoughts were really important, that I would make errors in cognition based upon my past. So as a simple example, if I made a plan with someone and then they called me and had to cancel, I would feel like super rejected, like they hated me, they were pretending to be my friend. I mean, all these crazy thoughts. And I would then withdraw from that relationship based on that cognitive error. It wouldn't even occur to me that maybe their dog died or maybe they didn't feel well, right? Like it was, so I began to observe that my thoughts were very distorted based on my past experiences. So I began to examine every thought I had. And I tell people, don't believe everything you think, you know? Mm-hmm. So it's like mm-hmm. I put my thinking on a whiteboard and go, is that really right? Is that true? Is there a different way to see that? And then the other thing I'll mention is being triggered. Mm-hmm. So I learned a lot from being triggered, because it's my opinion that when we get triggered, it's only because we have a corresponding wound. So the person, mm-hmm. say, in front of us who's triggering us is actually a catalyst. We time travel back to that original wound. And so 80 or 90% of the reaction we're having mm-hmm. is actually about that past thing and not the person in front of us. Of course, we make the mistake of like, you know, we respond mm-hmm. and then respond. And then we create this trauma that's unnecessary. So I learned that every time I was triggered, you know, if I was talking to someone on the phone, I'd say, I need to call you back. If they were in person, I'd say, I need a minute. I would go off to a private place. I would let the emotions come out if I was angry or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then I would find the memory, find the child part that had been hurt and was present because of I was triggered, and work with that. And then I would reframe it for myself and allow my nervous system to go back to baseline. And then I would continue a conversation. So it saved me a lot of suffering. Mm-hmm. I don't respond to emails that trigger me. I have a moratorium where I have to wait 3 days. I can write the response, but I can't send it. And then 99.9% of the time, I never send it. So I think that there's more, but the top two would be using triggers to find my wounds and heal them, mm-hmm. and really questioning my thinking and reframing my thoughts when they weren't correct.
That's absolutely brilliant. I mean, you had the insight, you know, to really go there and ask yourself those good questions. I had a teacher who taught me the question is more important than the answer. Mm. I never forgot that, because that's what you got good at, right? Asking yourself these questions and reframing your thoughts, like you said, and releasing triggers. I like releasing triggers. I like going to those core issues and actually saying, hey, where did this start? What happened? Clearing the core issue of when the rejection, the invalidation, the abuse, the whatever happened for people, and clear that space in the brain where that got stuck.
Yeah.
You know, because that's what you started doing with the reframing.
Yes.
Yes. Very beautifully. Very beautifully.
I don't have that sort of brain education that you do, though I'm learning from you. I'm in your classes. But I kind of figured it out in a different way, right?
Yeah, you did. And that's what I think is so beautiful, you know, because again, all these tools will help people. So listening to your story, we all learn through story.
Yeah.
You know, we all learn through story. So listening to your story and how you overcame this, because you really did. I mean, you went from dark to the light, like completely. You know, not like we're all still, I'm still healing too. Not like we're all still healing. We are. You know, we're on the path, we're on the journey.
Louise, my therapist, once I asked her, I said, when will I be cured? And she said, honey, only hams are cured.
That's good. I like it.
So I never forgot that. And it is an ongoing journey because we should be growing and developing ourselves every day, every month, every year of our life. I mean, I'll be 60 in a couple of months. And I mean, I still have a lot to work through. Right now, it's about allowing in the love and abundance that the universe has for me. I've become more aware that I have doors that are shut. So I scream and whine about where's this? And then what I hear is, well, it's there. Just open the door and let it in. So it's me allowing more love and abundance in, because of course, you know, with everything I went through, it's natural that I would be that way. So I'm learning kind of that, and to trust my intuition, which I've always had that voice. And I think that voice is super important, because in our society, we're encouraged to be mental. You know, even Western psychotherapy is all about the mind. But it's the heart. The heart has a much bigger field around us than the brain. And so the brain should be in service to the heart. And if you listen to that inner guidance and that inner voice, life becomes much easier. And so I've learned that maybe in the last few years.
That's beautiful. I've watched that happen too with people who have been through any kind of abuse. You know, when they get to that place where they can follow their intuition and trust it. I remember when I first got my first biofeedback device over 20 years ago, and I started, you know, hooking people up to this program. It was a computer program, and it did have like a wire that went around the head and on each wrist and each ankle, and it read your like electrical body. So it did physical, mental, emotional, spiritual. And what would happen after I saw people for several weeks in a row is they would come back with a heightened intuition. But the interesting thing was I watched them be able to trust it more.
Yeah.
And it's because I was clearing multidimensionally, physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and energetically, their field of past trauma. And I didn't even know I was doing that. Not at the level that I know now.
Yeah.
You know? And then I added my brain system, and then even more started happening. But that's where I'm just like still in awe and congratulate you for like taking back your power in that way, asking yourself good questions, knowing who you really are.
Yeah.
Not that you did when you were little, but you've come there.
And I want to just say briefly a couple of other, they're kind of basic things, but I think it bears mention. Mm-hmm. You know, our consciousness, our soul, you know, we're in this vessel, we're in this body. So we have to take care of the body. And so we have to learn about food and nutrition. And yes, the soil, it doesn't have the nutrition it used to, and the air and the water and the corporate food and the fast food, that's all very toxic for our bodies. And if we consume that, our consciousness will go down, right? So finding and eating healthy, exercising this vessel, this body, walking at minimum, you know, I kickbox, I weight train, and it's helped me re-inhabit my body because, of course, I was dissociated from it. So these kinds of things are also very important. And then, you know, what I learned is that when we're in a doing state, we're in beta, right? It's a brainwave.
Right.
So to connect to that intuition you're talking about and to our higher self or to God or whatever we call that, we have to sit quietly and we have to get in alpha or theta. You know, it's like a radio channel where we can connect with that inside part of ourselves. Because otherwise, you know, it's like you can't connect if you're out there running around, you know, and doing and doing. So taking that time to just be quiet a part of the day. And then the last thing I'll say is nature. I cannot exist without being outside. I hug trees. I take walks. You know, I love water. So like I'll stick my hand in or feet in and, you know, touching the earth with your feet. So all these are kind of sort of self-explanatory, but I think it bears mention because in our modern world, we forget this stuff, right? So I think it's important to take care of all of that as well.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. That's part, like the body piece is the first piece of my system because it is foundational, like you mentioned. Yes. And there's, I'm sure, a lot of listeners here who also, just like you and myself, have to be outside, have to be in nature. We get fed from that. We're really one with the earth. It's getting nice here. I can't wait to put my feet on the grass.
Yeah, absolutely.
But you have come such a long way. Are there any other like tips or, you know, suggestions for anyone who's had, you know, any kind of abuse like you or any kind of abuse, really?
Yeah, you know, it does. There is a thing that if you go look it up, it's called the drama triangle, and it's victim, perpetrator, savior. And basically, if you get, it's a trap, right? Mm-hmm. So what I would say is part of healing, you get to a point where you have to own that you were victimized and you have to experience that. And you have to sit and have the courage, by the way, to feel what you couldn't, when you're a child and these things are happening, you have to put it in a box and dissociate it to keep going.
Right.
But if you're going to heal, at some point you have to, it's like, remember those library card catalog drawers like that were skinny and they had, I have that visual in my head. You have a trauma, you put it away. At some point, you have to allow that to come back. And when it comes back, usually when you're an adult and you can handle it, you have to sit there, you have to feel it, you have to cry, you have to let it go. Mm-hmm. And so in that process, there's a stage where we're a victim, like, because we were victimized, right? Mm-hmm. But you cannot stay there. You must not stay there. You must go forward from that state because society is now really pushing heavily this victim identity. Everyone's a victim of this or a victim of that. It's disempowering. It Yes. keeps you stuck, you know? At the same time, you also can't be a savior because if you feel that you have to save someone, then you're making them a victim. That's not okay, right?
Right.
So we have to be aware of that drama triangle because I think it's a pretty bad trap out there. And just know that, you know, no ex-president, no ETs, no weird figure, no one's going to come and save us. Okay. We are going to save ourselves. And how do we do that? We start with healing ourselves. And then if you heal the traumas that and you're fragmented and then you put yourself coherently back together, then I think the next step is we come together as a human race because they've divided and conquered us by race and gender and everything you can imagine. Mm-hmm. Then we come together as a collective. Then we restore that connection to that divine part of us that's been severed.
Mm-hmm.
And when we're there, you know, I think what comes back is our memory of who we truly are, you know, not these devolved unconscious beings that are here now, but who we really are. We can step into our power and we remember our mission. Like, why did I come here? What can I do as a human being on this planet? What's my little part to make this world a better place? You know, but you have to start with you because, you know, it's like that thing on the airplane where they say you have to put your own oxygen mask on. You got to do that first here. And then you can step into that full version of yourself. And we're all here, I believe, to change this planet and humanity from the degraded, kind of devolved, unconscious state we're in into a much higher version. And I think it's actually happening now. So I'm very optimistic.
Yeah, that was really beautifully said. I so agree with you. You know, I see that. I feel like when I work with people, when they get back to being 100% their soul truth, they really do take back that power, and it's working on themselves first. So healer, heal thyself first. You know, and I'm still kind of even blown away and in awe is my own healing journey too, Max. And I think when I changed, my kids changed. And I didn't understand that right away. But it was that own inner work. And my teachers have told me and mentors, work on yourself and you will help others just by working on yourself, just because you do that work. And then, like you said, then you have the power and you've got you back, 100% your soul's truth back. Now the next step is healing the other people that you can touch and the collective and being we're all really one.
Yes.
We're all one. Agree. It's like a Venn diagram. Remember the Venn diagrams where they have a circle and another circle? You mm-hmm. and I are communicating right now, so we're blending that way. There's a piece of that circle that is like connecting.
Yes.
Right?
I would say that this God is one consciousness that is knowing itself and experiencing itself through every single life form, even a blade of grass. Right. So mm-hmm. we are all that one consciousness in just us, like a slight variety, you know. So and everything is interdependent, and we have been taught the opposite, but that's very true. And so when you heal yourself, Louise, that light bulb that's you turns on. And when I heal myself, mm-hmm. that light bulb is on, and that yes. light affects everyone around you. And yes. think of the whole planet. If all these light bulbs turn on, what does light do? It totally erases darkness.
Yes. Yes. So I know that's your mission too. You know, we're doing it on a different way, but definitely the same mission, helping people get back to their light and taking back yeah. their power. Absolutely. And you're also, I know, an advocate for children. You've done a lot of work with children.
Yeah. You know, who's going to be the next generation?
Exactly.
You know, mm-hmm. if we want to evolve as a human race, I think each of us, you know, I'm a parent, you're a parent, but we're the parents of all children. We are responsible for the well-being and safety of all children on this planet. So we need to do everything we can. And, you know, it's kind of alarming to see the agendas in school now, the sexualization of children, the normalization of pedophilia, you know, the too many screens and phones. And, you know, there's a lot of issues right now. So we need to pay attention to that and to begin to do what we can to protect children, to nourish them, to educate them with real empowering, true information, because that's the next generation. So if we don't do that, we're not going to evolve as a human species. And so, you know, it's all of our duty. And I know that, you know, the topic of trafficking and ritual abuse is very, very dark. But if you can't look at that, it would be the same as if you walked by a scenario of someone raping a child and you've said, oh, I can't look at that. When you see something that you can do for a child, I believe it's our duty to do that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And I think that's so incredible and wise. And you know, obviously it came from your whole past here. You've done such a beautiful job healing. You're such a great example for other people who are going through this, you know, we can feel that from you. And again, I just want to thank you for sharing your story with us today and helping people see they can come through anything, right? Yes. If Max could come through this and come to the other side, you can see her glowing here, you know, you can too. So you can overcome anything. And if you are on that path of really healing yourself and, you know, taking a look at this. Hey, I know you've got a great website. Share that with us. Then you had a summit that you did where you've got presentations where people can listen and learn more. How can we access that, Max?
So my website is unbroken.global. And if you go there, I have, over 100 interviews. So one thing I decided to do is interview people, healers, teachers, truth warriors, other survivors. So through the interviews, you can learn a lot. I did a summit in December, and I had some really amazing people there. Other survivors like Kathy O'Brien. I had amazing consciousness warriors like Penny Kelly, Dale Holmes in Australia. and many, many others. And so that summit, there were 17 speakers, and that you can purchase that on my website. It's $99 for all those 17 presentations. Mm-hmm. And you can also become a member on my website. So if you want to support me and my work, because I do the interviews for free. Mm-hmm. So you can become a member. And if there's three tiers. And if you're tier two or three, we have a monthly Zoom, and it's growing in numbers. And we meet and we talk about the global situation, and we support each other and we encourage each other. And what can we do together to change the world? So those would be some of the things. And my interviews are also on BitChute, Rumble, and Brighteon. And I have written a lot of articles as well, which are on my website on the blog. But I am about to create a Substack, so you can keep a lookout for that.
Oh, that's so awesome. You've done such a great job. And again, thank you so much for being with us today, sharing your story, opening, you know, your life and your heart, and helping people see they can come to the other side and really do some great work in the world like you're doing. You know, I picked the word connection for this year. You're doing that on all those levels with your memberships, everything that you're doing, and even being here with us today. So, oh my gosh, I thank you so much.
Thank you for having me. It's an honor. I very much admire and respect you, so I'm thrilled to be here.
It's really, really awesome. And remember, everyone, just like we talked about and Max mentioned here, hey, follow your heart, but take your brain with you.